Now this evening, our subject is freedom of speech in God's university. And there are several scriptures that I'd like to read. And we're in the Epistle of James. The first one is in the first chapter, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then, dropping down to verse 26, it is. Verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then we go to chapter 3, and we could actually read the entire chapter here. It's all about the use and abuse of the tongue. But let me read only one verse, verse 3 of chapter 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, those are our scriptures this evening. Freedom of speech in God's university. Freedom of speech at Berkeley was given, I think, a coverage by all the news media that was out of all proportion to its importance. Candidly, I believe that TV today, in attempting to get sensational news stories, is absolutely doing a detriment to America today, to this nation in which we live. We are having so many things that are pushed out of all proportion altogether. But because this was given, the prominence it was given at the time, a great many taxpayers and prominent citizens in California have evidently become concerned that a great university that is supported by their tax money can be shut down and made ridiculous, and made a ridiculous spectacle by a few beatniks. That a few like this can intimidate the majority of serious minded students and reflect upon the good intentions of these students who want to get an education. But I'm not here tonight to solve the problems at Berkeley. We'll let Governor Brown and the Regents settle the problems on the university campus of Cal at Berkeley. And the reason is that the church has a problem which concerns freedom of speech. In fact, the Church of the Open Door has the problem of freedom of speech. I suppose every church in America today has this problem of freedom of speech. Sometimes we call it gossiping today. But each one of us tonight, who's a Christian, we have a problem which concerns freedom of speech. Each one of us tonight, and the use of the tongue, is dealt with in Scripture a great deal more than the use of alcohol or the use of any other thing today that we think of as a sin. The Word of God has more to say about the use and abuse of the tongue. Now, James, as dean of God's university, he considered this a controversial subject, and he gave considerable space to it. He took up the subject here at the very beginning of his epistle. Fact of the matter is, it looked to me like he couldn't wait to get to this subject, because this is the one thing that he was going to emphasize as dean of God's university. Now, will you notice again verse 19? For this is where he gets to it at the beginning, even before he develops it in chapter 3. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, Dean James is not only a great educator, as we've seen in this epistle already, but he actually is what would be called an ear and throat specialist. And he deals here with this subject of the use of the ears and the use of the tongue, or the throat, if you please. Now, he deals with the physiology of the subject, and it's quite interesting if you'll notice how God made us in this connection. I do not intend to go into anything technically that's related to this, but have you ever noticed that God has given all of us two ears? He gave us all two ears and one tongue. That in itself is a message, isn't it? Someone has said, why did he give us two ears? Well, the main reason is that most of what we hear can go in one ear and out the other. One is to receive it and the other is to let it out. He gave us one tongue. And that means that we're to listen twice as much as we talk. And have you ever noticed what he did with the tongue? He put it in a cage. When you get home, if you don't take them out at night, well, look at the cage that God put your tongue in. He's put it back of a cage there. And many times, we do need to grit our teeth. And when we grit our teeth, that means we keep that little animal that's the most dangerous animal that there is today. We keep him back there in the cage where he belongs. The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declared the Greek. The tongue destroys a greater hoard, the Turk asserts, than does the sowing. The Persian proverb wisely saith, a lengthy tongue and early death, or sometimes takes this form instead. Don't let your tongue cut off your head. The tongue can speak a word whose speed, say the Chinese, outstrips the steed. While Arab sages this impart, the tongue's great storehouse is the heart. From Hebrew wit the maxim sprung, though feet should slip, ne'er let the tongue. The sacred writer crowns the whole. Who keeps the tongue doth keep his soul. And someone has said that a fool's tongue is always long enough to cut his throat. And tongues run faster when they have little to carry. And if you want something else, someone has said that it takes a baby 2 years to learn to talk, and then it takes him 50 years to keep his mouth shut. There was an ad in a paper that read like this, for sale, a folding bed by a lady that shuts up and looks like a piano. A man was an old bachelor and he met an old maid and they started going together. He'd never gotten married because he always felt women talk too much. And this woman that he met did not talk, and he was very much smitten by her, and finally he decided one night he would propose, and he proposed to her, and that just teed her off. She started talking, and she talked for about 2 hours straight. So finally, she noticed he hadn't said anything for 2 hours, and she looked over to him, and she said to him, Sam, why don't you say something? He said, I've said too much already. The lady sitting in a dentist chair said to him, says, why is that cavity so large in my tooth? He said, it's just the tendency of the tongue to enlarge upon everything. The latest home journal, and I give the name of it because they carried this article, it says women can keep a secret just as well as the men can. The only difference is it takes more of them to do it. The tongue is the most dangerous weapon that there is in the world. It's more deadly than the atom bomb. There is today the inspection of the atom bomb, and that is the thing that they're crying for everywhere. But there's been no inspection of the tongue, and today there needs to be that inspection of the tongue. When I came here first to the Church of the Open Door, someone sent me a little card, and on the little card were these words. It said, in Balaam's day, it was a miracle when an ass spoke. It's a miracle today when one keeps quiet. I do not think whoever sent that meant anything personal by it, but at least they gave me that advice when I first came here. May I say to you that the tongue is the most dangerous thing that is in this world today. And therefore, James begins immediately by saying that we're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And then, when he comes to verse 26, he comes back to this subject. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious. And our translation gives the wrong impression. Actually, it's not the appearance he gives to others, but if he seems to himself, if he appears to himself to be religious, if you think that you are religious and you bridle not your tongue, you deceive your own heart. And James says, this man's religion is vain. And then he gives this in chapter 3, verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Now, if you read chapter 3 through, you will find that he uses many figures of speech to speak of the tongue. He uses the helm on a ship, the rudder. He uses the idea of a forest fire. He uses the idea of a wild beast. And he speaks of the fact that you can tame all kinds of beasts. If you've ever been to the circus, you know they can take these great big elephants and they can have them stand on their hind legs and they'll stand on their front legs and they'll actually dance a jig. And they can train today lions and tigers and leopards to work in the same cage. And he says that men today can tame wild animals. There's not an animal that man cannot tame, but James says the tongue is that which no man has ever been able to tame. So that tonight, you and I have in our body the most dangerous thing that's in the world tonight. The wild animal is not. The killer that's out on the street tonight is not the most dangerous. The drunk that's back of the wheel on the freeway is not the most dangerous. The most dangerous thing tonight is this little tongue that's in our body tonight. That little tongue is something you and I can take and do more damage with it than we could if we had a machine gun tonight. We say today that your liberty ends where my nose begins. A man says you can swing your fist any direction you want to. You have freedom to swing your fist. But where your fist leaves off and my nose begins, that's where your liberty ends. But what about the reputation tonight of someone? I, the other day, had the opportunity of sitting in a restaurant and overheard the conversation of two women sitting in the booth next to me. In a course, I think, of 15 minutes, they took up some folk that I do not know at all, but they destroyed the reputation of at least a half a dozen other women. They destroyed the reputation of that same number of men. And that tongue that they had was without doubt one of the most dangerous things that is imaginable. If a man had whipped out a gun and held up the cashier at the restaurant, why, there would have been a headline in the paper. But nothing was said about two tongues that did more damage than any machine gun could possibly have done in that restaurant. The most dangerous thing in the Church of the Open Door is the tongue. It hurts this church, as it hurts every church, more than anything else. It's this little member that we have here. Now, the tongue is a wonderful instrument, of course, but the tongue is what lifts man above the animal world. Man's not a gibbering ape or an ape in parrot. He's not an inarticulate animal, nor is he a mocking bird. He can put thought into words. He can express himself with words. He can communicate by the use of the tongue. And it's the tongue that enables man to lift himself to the highest level. I listened this afternoon again to the golden voice of Winston Churchill. After they gave the announcement of his death, they let his voice come again. And I listened to that message that I'm sure many of us heard during the war, when he mentioned the fact that Britain would not surrender. Oh, the golden voice of that man. But even death has removed that golden voice today. It is that voice of man, that ability to speak, that has lifted him to the highest, and yet it's that that makes him the most dangerous creature in God's universe today. The tongue is the badge that we wear. It identifies us. It's the index of our life. It's the table of contents. It's the fraternity pin that we wear. It tells all about our character, our language. It gives us away. I have many stories I can tell like this because, I guess, of our radio program and having an unusual accent. I have had some very interesting encounters. I was speaking at the Conservative Baptist Ministers in the state of Oregon in Portland, and I was staying at a motel where several of these preachers were staying, and one evening before the service, we went over to a restaurant that was across the street from the motel, and we were having just a lot of fun talking like a group of preachers would that were out of school, and we noticed that across from us, there were two women. One of the preachers nudged me and he said, "Those women are listening to us." And I cut my eye around and I could tell that they were listening. They were very nice looking ladies and I couldn't imagine them, you know, listening in on a conversation. Then I saw that they said something one to the other. And after the meal, they finished before we did, they left. We thought nothing more of it, and after we finished, we went back to the motel, and they were standing in front of the office. And when we started to pass, one of them said, "Dr. McGee, is that you?" And I turned and I said, "Yes." And the other one says, "I told you so." And they said, "While we were there in the restaurant, we thought that we recognized you." I said, "Did you ever see me before?" And they said, "Never seen you before." Well, I said, "Where do you live?" One of them says, "I live in Santa Ana." The other one said, "I live in the San Fernando Valley." I said, "Have you ever been to the Church of the Open Door?" One of them that lived in San Fernando Valley, and she may be here tonight, she said, "Well, I come often to the evening service at the Church of the Open Door. I drive in." The one to Santa Ana said, "I've never been in and I've never seen you before." The one from San Fernando said, "I sit back in the balcony, and I've never seen you close up, and I never really knew just how you looked. But the minute I heard your voice, I knew who you were." May I say to you, your voice gives you away. Your tongue tells who you are. You just can't escape that at all. That happened in Chicago, the same way I went into a restaurant there with Dr. Schuyler English, and a man and a woman sitting across in a booth from us, and the man just spoke right out. He said, "Dr. McGee, what are you doing in Chicago?" And I said to him, "How do you know me?" He said, "I listened to you on the radio in Southern California." I said, "Are you from Southern California?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Have you ever been to the Church of the Open Door?" They said, "No, we've never seen you before." May I say to you, your voice is the best identification that any of us have. I think it's even better than a fingerprint. It tells your character. It tells who you are. I wonder tonight, would you be willing to have a tape played tonight of everything that you have said this past week, suppose I say to you tonight, there's somebody here tonight that we've been able to have a tape made of everything they've said this week. And right now, we are going to put it out here and let you listen to it. Would you want to hear it? Would you want to hear your voice and everything you've said this past week? May I say this to you? I don't think I would. I'm sure that I wouldn't. I'm sure that you wouldn't. But I'll say this, that if tonight we could listen to your voice and everything that you've said this past week, will you hear me? We'd know whether you're a Christian or not, wouldn't we? We'd know whether you're a Christian or not. My friend, have you this week used your tongue in such a way that people would know that you are a child of God? What about the tongue? The tongue is a dead giveaway. It tells who you are. It tells where you came from. It tells whether you're ignorant or educated. It tells whether you're cultured or crude. It tells whether you're clean or unclean. It tells whether you're vulgar or refined. It tells whether you're a believer or a blasphemer. It tells whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. It tells whether you're guilty or not guilty. But you want the tape played tonight. May I say to you this evening, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. These are statements that the writer to the Proverbs used. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many times have you heard people say, "Oh, if I had only spoken to that man, or I had only spoken to that woman, or I had only used my tongue to speak to my loved one before it was too late," and they've slipped away now, and I've missed a golden opportunity because we did not use the tongue. And then how many times we've used the tongue to antagonize someone and probably to drive them away from Christ forever. No wonder that David made this statement in Psalm 39:1. He says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." David said, "I'm going to be very careful of what I say when I'm in the presence of the wicked, because I do not want to disgrace God. I do not want to turn them from God." Oh, my beloved, tonight, the tongue can no man tame. The tongue tonight can either send you to heaven or send you to hell. And the tragic thing is, with your tongue, you can send somebody else either to heaven or to hell. And again, David put it like this, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you." We need to have a tongue that is controlled by the Spirit of God. And tonight, though no man can control the tongue, though tonight no man, it's not even possible for a man tonight to tame the tongue, yet God tonight, He's an animal trainer, and He can train the tongue. He can tame it. He can tame your tongue, and He can tame my tongue. And isn't it interesting that He also says that you're saved when your heart and your mouth are brought into conformity in a confession of faith? That if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. He's not saying to publicly confess, and that, of course, is a viewpoint that's been, I suppose, exhausted by evangelists today, that it means publicly. It has nothing to do with public confession. Doesn't even say that. All that Paul is saying in Romans is this, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth, doesn't say publicly, it means to bring that heart and that mouth into conformity, where they're in harmony, where they're singing on key, where they're saying the same thing. And if tonight you can say with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe if I trust Him that He'll save me. And if you believe that with your heart, and you'll say it with your mouth, not publicly, but say it with your mouth, He'll save you. It's amazing. The tongue can send you to heaven or send you to hell. It's a ticket in both directions. The tongue. And God says in His university, Dean James says, freedom of speech? No. He says, shut up. Shut up. That's the sign they ought to put up at Berkeley. That's the sign they ought to put up in Pershing Square. I'm not sure, but that's what a good sign we should put up in the Church of the Open Door. Have you noticed how nice and polite that we put it in the bulletin? For the morning service, we say, let the first note of the organ bring worshipful silence. You know what James says? He says, shut up. Keep quiet. Bring that tongue into obedience of Jesus Christ. Be still and know that I'm God. May I just speak briefly now in closing out of a little experience? I've had to keep quiet for the past 2 weeks. And that's hard for me to do. Monday and Tuesday nights, they had down at the beach what is known as a minus tide. I didn't know what that was either till I got down there and found out that it means it's a tide below normal tide, and you can walk halfway to Catalina when they have one of them. And they had a minus tide both those nights. And so far, about 2 hours each night, I walked up and down the beach by myself, for I was not to talk to anybody. You know, it's wonderful sometimes to get quiet and just stand there and walk out as far as I could. I took off my shoes and walked out where the water could come up and just run over your feet a little. And look out as the sun would go down that vast Pacific Ocean. And that's the scripture that came to me, be still. Preacher, you talk too much. Shut up. I gave you a sore throat. Keep quiet. And just know that I'm God. It's nice to keep quiet for a couple hours and find out that God is God. Oh, there are too many of us who talk too much. I hear today a great many people say, oh, we should witness more. We should keep our mouth shut more. Do you know that more people are turned away from Christ by listening to Christians than by anything else? Yes, they are. Be still and know that I am God. thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, God says He'll save you. Is your mouth saying what's in your heart? Shall we pray? As we tonight bow our heads in prayer, I'm wondering here tonight, if you hear, honestly, you don't need more argument, do you? And you don't need to hear me. Just need to be quiet for a moment and know that He's God. And to know that He's given you the most wonderful gift in the world of speaking. There's no gift like that. I'm not sure that angels do very much talking. I'm not sure they do. I find out in Scripture that they are servants, and servants don't talk very much. God has given to man the ability to speak. And isn't it a tragic thing for this man to take this glorious gift of the use of a tongue and use it even to blaspheme his Maker? Use his tongue to turn people away from God, when he could take that tongue and confess his Savior. My friend, tonight, as we close this service, I'm wondering if you are here this evening, just right where you're sitting. God's not asking you to speak out here in public, just where you're sitting. You'd like to say, I'd like to bring my tongue and my heart into conformity and into harmony, and say one thing, that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And since He made me and gave me the gift of speech, and since He died on the cross to save me, I do want to use my tongue to praise His name. Are you here tonight? Do you want tonight to just take a step of faith toward Him as a creature? A creature that He's given a marvelous gift. He wants to save you and to use that tongue for His glory. Our gracious, loving Father God, we truly thank Thee this night for the ability to communicate one with another. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful gift of speech. We thank Thee tonight that Thou hast given us a tongue. And we are not even singing, oh, for a thousand tongues. We just want to use the one we've got for Thy glory, Thy honor. We pray this evening that Thou wilt indeed speak to our own hearts and our own lives, especially to believers tonight, that the only freedom of speech that we have is in the realm and in the orbit of the will of God, that we have no right to say just anything. We have no right to speak our mind, but we are to speak those things that concern Thee and concern our relationship with Thee. Therefore, we will pray that Thou will bring every thought, every imagination of our hearts and every expression of our tongues, bring it, we do pray, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, that we might indeed speak for Him, for we pray in His name. Amen.